Book of Galatians. Thank God for all that's come out today and that we're able to pray. Fourth chapter of Galatians. It's totally amazing to me how people lied to us when we was young. Work hard and retire and have it made. Maybe some has. I don't know, but enjoy God while you're young. Do for the Lord while you're young. Don't wait till you're old and white-headed to try to start doing something for the Lord. Do it today, because the night's coming when no man can work. And I praise God He's left me around these many years. But it ain't as easy as everybody says. So we've been told a lie if we're not careful. We've been told a lie. Fourth chapter of Galatians. I appreciate what Nancy said, all right? Bless my heart. Bless my heart. Pray for this old boy. I'm depending on God. If God don't move up on the scene, I might as well give up. It ain't going to be no good. The fourth chapter of Galatians in the 16th verse. And Paul said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Because I tell you the truth, am I become your enemy? And I thought as TJ was talking there, we don't love Jesus, we don't give Him praise, we don't give Him honor enough for what He's done for us. And it may do us good to go back. And I know everybody wasn't in the shape Terry was or Butch was or I was. Everybody wasn't in that shape. Some were just pretty good old people, but they were sinners. Y'all probably wasn't as mean as Gary Mitchell. But you needed Jesus. It may do us good to go back and look the condition that we're in. This week, I heard God's name called in vain. I saw one beat his own head, talk out of his head. Devils, demons all around, and we can believe it or let it go by. And turn around and tell me they're saved. It's a lie. There's deception in our land today. And almost every funeral that I go to, almost everyone. And I'm going to tell you, everybody ain't going to heaven. No, I done read in the book where hell has enlarged itself. Yeah. But almost every funeral, there's somebody will come up and remember some good little point that almost everybody has done. And we'd love to stand up and preach to a church about all of our good points. But I'm going to tell you, our good points are going away. Hey, we're not standing for God like we one time stood for God. Been in church, going to soon be 53 years. And I'm going to tell you, we're not like we used to be. We're not praising God like we used to praise God. The preachers ain't preaching like they used to preach. We want to do a little sermonette, and we want to have a whole lot of praise and worship. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But we forget, when we walk out the door, what God has done for us. The agony, the pain, the blood that was shed, the shame that Jesus took on the cross. And I'm sure, I don't know the mind of God, but I'm sure that God's heart was broke. He couldn't even look on His Son as He was dying there with shame and agony, knowing He could have come down off the cross, could have called 12 legions of angels to come down. He could have called 36,000 angels at the least to come down and take Him off. and take him off of that cross and spare his life. But he bore that shame for us. And we're living in a time and a day when we don't want no pain. We don't want no trouble. We don't want no agony. And I thought about if converts comes against us, if we are come against in any way, we just run off and pout. Amen. Or we'll go shoot ourselves. We can't face tomorrow. We can't face the controversy that our sinful life has brought on us. I need to live right with God. I thought about me after I've testified 52 years how great my God is. If I went back on God now and brought Him to an open shame and brought my testimony to an open shame and brought the path that I've tried to set before Mount Vernon Church. And I thought, my Lord and my God. And I'm going to tell you why we don't shout and praise God like we used to. We don't love one another. If you don't love your neighbor as yourself, that's one of the commandments of God, the great commandment. If you can't love your neighbor that you've seen, how can you love God who you've not seen? So I see that in our land today, and I see the deception. Satan has done a great job with the deception of coronavirus. And it's real. It's real. But I'm going to tell you, he told Adam and Eve a little bit that was real.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. He don't own my body. He don't control my body. And when I die, I'm not his. I'm Jesus' son. I'm Jesus' son. We'll go to the first verse in Galatians 4. But Paul was brokenhearted. Paul was down in Corinth there, probably in prison, as he wrote this letter, and he was brokenhearted because he heard back about the people there in Galatians and how they were doing and being led astray by false doctrines. But I'm going to read that verse again. And am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I thought about almost every funeral that I've heard preached. I just heard one up on the mountain there that they said they didn't even mention nothing about the man. How can you talk about a man that ain't never lived for God, that's made fun of the church, amen, made fun of the work of God? How can you go out and brag on him, amen, that what a child of God he was and how he loved the Lord? Are we going to stand and tell a lie? Are we going to stand and tell a lie? I thought this is so sad. And I've had people to come back to me and said, oh, well, you didn't say nothing much good about them. And that's not my job, honey. You're living your own life right now. And I'm not preaching your funeral, but you're living your life right now. You're preaching your own funeral, honey. Glory to God. If anybody brags on you, you need to set an example in the land. There's going to be some talk about you regardless, honey. There's going to be some that come against you if you go to church and do everything that you can do, honey. But glory to God, there's somebody out there can see the light of Jesus in you. Now let's go to the first verse in the fourth chapter of Galatians. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And I thought about today under grace. Amen. We're saved today. Jump out tomorrow and decide we're going to preach. Amen. We testify how great God is, and we just have got saved. And He is great. But then we get down the road just a little bit and we quit growing. The Bible said that we need to be under tutors, amen, and governors. We need to be under teachers and preachers in our church. That's why God set up church, that we can grow. Amen. I just don't believe that God saves a man and sends him right out to preach right out of the heart that don't know anything about the goodness of God. You take Paul there and you say, Paul on the road to Damascus, amen, and he called up and he got saved and he went right to preaching. No, he didn't. He went 2 years into the wilderness, amen, and studied God's word, studied what the law said. So I thought about today, honey, how we jump out there and we've not been under the right kind of tutors or governors or the right kind of preaching. And I thought about we, the church, are letting down on our new converts. And I thought about we're looking at some of ours that are scared to death today, and we're looking at them as leaders in our church. And where are they leading us to? We need some people that will stand up, glory to God, and say, I'm not afraid of Satan. I'm not serving Satan. I don't have to be patted on the back. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to have a doctor's degree. I don't have to have money, glory to God. God saved my soul, and I'm going to stand on what the Word of God said. We got too many that's trying to make friends with the world. We got too many that's right on the borderline. They're afraid they ain't going to make it as a Christian. I know what I'm talking about. I was one of them when I was a young Christian. I didn't want to get in too deep. I wanted to hang along the borderline in case I didn't make it. This is Bible. Amen. That I could go back. Amen. Into the world, and the world would take me back. Today we're standing behind the pulpit and we're worrying about what the world thinks about us. We're worrying about what the hypocrite thinks about us. We're blaming ourselves, glory to God, while the whole church ain't shouting. I'm going to tell you why you didn't raise your hand this morning. You didn't want to. I don't know a person in here's hand that won't raise above their head. There might be, amen. Glory to God. You can sit down and kick your foot a little bit. We can move a little bit for the glory of God. This is the quietest world that we'll ever live in. And he said that there, the elements, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Let me jump over into Colossians here and read just a few verses that Colossians has said there, as Paul wrote in Colossians. And he said, beware. This is 2nd chapter of Colossians and 8th verse. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Through philosophy. That's calm, wise. They're wise as serpents today, honey. Glory to God. They're out there tearing down philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. They're not rudiments of the world. They're not developed. And he said, for in him that dwelleth in all the fullness of the Godhead body, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision, made without hands, in putting off the body of sins and the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Let me jump down in Colossians to the 18th verse there, and I want to get this out plainly. And he said, let no man beguile you of your reward involuntarily. Listen to this. Beguile means to cheat or deceive you. He said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head. I'm talking about Christ, not holding the head from which all the body by joint and hands having nourished, ministered to, knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. And the Bible said in the 20th verse, wherefore if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though having the world through living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are the perish with the thing, with the using, after the commandment and doctrine of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. My God had a blessing to the reading of his word. And what Paul is trying to tell them here in Galatians and Colossians, glory to God, that we were in bondage of the elements of the world when we was, even though that maybe we was born in a big family, and it said there that if a king or a ruler was born, he still had to be under tutors and governors, and he had to learn about what the work of the king could be. And he said we was under bondage, amen, until God saves our soul. And that's what the whole deal is about, amen. It don't matter how great we was or what family we was born into. Until God saves our soul, we can't be used of God. Until God saves our soul, we can't be a light to a lost and dying world. We can't lead nobody to Christ. We can't tell nobody about Christ. All we can do is deceive people. people, amen, as long as we're under the bondage of the world and elements of the world. And that's what we're in today, as it said in Colossians there, glory to God, and it said, worshiping of angels, amen. And God tells us, amen, not to worship angels, not worship these, for us to worship God. And I thought about the Ephesians were terrible, the Galatians were terrible, how they'd come up with false gods. And I thought about America today, honey, how we have changed the Word of God, how we have made the Word of God of no effect, how we've took the blood out of the Word of God, and how we've took many things out away from the Word of God, the saving grace of God, honey. I'm going to tell you, honey, there ain't just one churches everywhere. We are one body. We're one church. A denomination has separated the churches. The new Bibles has separated the church. It's tried to tear us down and bring us in division. And this thing ain't just happened. As I stop in my mind and I look back ever since the Vietnam War, and I'm looking back in times that I've been saved and can't see much farther back than that, but at times that I've been saved, honey, and I've seen how Satan has come in, intruded into the church, and how he's tried to break down the church, take away the power out of the church, to make the church doubt. I've watched how, glory to God, he's tried to stop people from preaching the Word of God, how he's tried to stop people from praising God, how he's tried to stop people, amen, from praying or from reading the Word of God, and how I thought about all the technology that's in our land today, how it's took our mind away from reading the Word of God. And honey, except the power of God move upon us, there's going to be nothing accomplished. We'll go on with the Word of God. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. This is the fourth verse in the fourth chapter of Galatians. Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So it don't make no difference if the heir that we was, or what we was going to inherit, or if we was going to inherit the whole state of North Carolina. It don't make no difference, honey, till you've been born again. Then you are heir of everything. You're not a servant, you're a son of God. And he said in the seventh verse, wherefore there are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Glory to God. I believe it's about time that some of us start shouting again. Getting excited, not because I'm preaching, but because the Word of God. Honey, we cried and begged God to save our soul, and we said, we'll follow you. We never said it maybe out loud, but we promised God if He'd forgive us, we'd serve Him, we'd follow after Him. I believe one of the easiest things that we could possibly do, and we've let Satan defeat us in that, is being faithful to the house of God. I believe we've let visitation go down the drain. I believe we've let caring about people go down the drain. I've found it's a battle, amen, for me to get into the hospice house anymore. And they'll just shut you out. It don't matter if you're a pastor. It don't matter if you're a pastor or the person that's in there. They'll just shut you out. It don't matter if you're the daddy or if you're the mama. Glory to God. I thank God they finally let Ann in a few minutes yesterday till she could be with Julian there in his last hour or two. But glory to God how they've just shut us down. So it's coming a separation. And who is that? That ain't God. God is a together. Amen. God is bringing us together that we be in one body. That's what He said, one body. Not a bunch here and a bunch yonder and a bunch over yonder. But one body. Glory to God. And the work of Satan is trying to separate us and stop us from praising God. I believe one of the easiest things that I've ever done, amen, I was raise my hand and praise God. I drove a tandem for a while for the state, amen. I'd come down 77, and you can ask some of the boys that met me on the road. I just every now and then I'd roll down the window. There wasn't no air conditioning, that old International. Throw my arm out the window and just praise God. It didn't matter if they thought I was crazy or not. It's been a long time since I just rolled down my window, amen, and throwed my hand out the window and began to praise God. I used to stop along the road. It didn't matter who was with me. And I stopped with a whole crew of men. And I right up here in the one time I remember for sure in the Snowbird Curve when Hugo come through. And it was dangerous trying to cut them trees. And them were slapping and a flopping and fell across each other. And I said, fellas, I'm going to stop right here and pray. If you want to pray with me, you can. If you want to sit in the truck, you can. It don't make no difference to me. I'm going to get down and pray. You know, and several of them fellows are dead today, and I'll never forget, if somebody ain't stole it, I still got the little knife. When I quit praying, the fellow said he wanted to give me a knife, and he got burned up in a house there in Mount Airy soon after that. But I thought, glory to God, do we do that anymore? I thought about, do we just stop along the way and pray in Walmart? Are we afraid somebody will see us? Has Satan got us afraid that we'll say the wrong word? Have we afraid? Even Janet knows I prayed for a lady, amen, and she got a better job right there in Walmart. You can call me Jack Anderson if you want to. I don't really care. Amen. I prayed for her right there. And Janet said she was on duty. She was working. I said, I know, but she was crying, glory to God. It was time to pray, amen. Right. Amen. I might not have seen her for another 6 months. Right. It's time to pray. But we've quit that kind of stuff, amen. Right. I'm going to tell you something, glory to God. If you can't shout at Mount Vernon, you need to run to the other church and try to shout, amen. Right. Glory to God, you'll be shouting on your own. I'm going to tell you, I want to shout at home, glory to God. Right. I told TJ, I said, I ain't even got enough room to preach up at the house, amen. Janet's got little whatty noddies everywhere, amen. Ain't got room to preach nowhere up there. I might go out on the backyard when the wind ain't blowing. But think about the shape that we've got in today. Honey, when I was first saved and I really realized I was saved, glory to God, and I got a little bit rooted and grounded in the Word of God, I wanted to tell somebody else about Jesus. I wanted somebody else to go with me. Today we're doing everything that we can to pull them out of church. I promise myself I'm going to do everything I can to get on in a right kind of time. He said, "Where therefore there are no more servants ever first, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." And I want us to get this right here. There's some scripture right here that we need to get. He said, "We did service unto them which by nature are no gods." And I don't know what about you all, but when a Saturday evening come and it come dance time, old square dance time, my foot started patting and I had to find me a drink and I started shining up and getting ready to go into the world. Amen?
Amen.
To go in and spend all I had. Some of y'all ain't never been there, huh? Oh, Bill, what do you see wrong with square dancing? It's leading me straight to hell.
Amen.
Amen. And I was following it. I was following it. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereof ye desire again to be in bondage? And I thought about today. I really thought about how rooted and grounded are we? We got some members that don't have enough faith to call us and tell us. Amen? Don't have enough faith to call us and tell us if they're sick, or if they've got a problem, or what they're doing. And they sure ain't got enough faith to say, I'm in the wrong.
Bless the Lord.
Amen. We want to blame it on somebody else. We want to blame it on somebody else. And we wonder why we're not shouting. And he said, "And now, after that ye have known God, or rather have known of God, turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desired again to be in bondage." Can I tell you what the Word of God says me right there? You can get out of bondage, you can listen to the Word of God, you can be a child of God, and you can go back into bondage. And I believe the American church is in bondage today. The scripture that God has laid on my heart, and Paul said, amen, "Because I've told you the truth, am I become your enemy? Am I your enemy because I've told you the truth?" Our doctrine ain't popular in the Baptist Association. Can I tell you, I've become an enemy of some. And I've become a false prophet to some. But I talk to God, amen, and I'm not a false prophet. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm reading the Word of God. Why do I want to go back in bondage? Don't tell me, neighbor, after you've known God or known of God, and go back and drink that alcohol that you've been delivered from, you may never get out from under it again. It'll take you farther down than you want to go. You go lay with that woman that ain't your wife, it'll take you straight into hell. They can believe what they want to believe. Why is the church not shouting like it used to? Fear has put us under bondage. Corona has put us under bondage. Falling out of love with one another has put us under bondage. We went right back to the old shape that we was in, pouting and coming against each other and fighting with our fists, amen, and running our tongue about one another. And the love of God has left us. You can say amen or let it go by. And it ain't just at Mount Vernon. It's all up and down the road. The pews are empty. The poor preacher is sitting up there behind a counter trying to preach to a microphone and nobody inside. Nobody saying amen, amen, and just preaching up a storm, amen. And he's so discouraged and out of heart, and you wonder why he ain't spiritual. He spent all his time praying for them. It ain't going to do nothing. Glory to God, and he's lost his shout, amen. He's lost his love. I'm preaching us the truth today. I'm telling us the truth today, honey. I'm going to ask you today, have you got enough to win one to the Lord? Have you got enough to help somebody come back to the Lord? Do we have enough to pray with one on the street? Do we have enough when Satan comes and looks us dead in the eye? Do we have enough to resist? I'm going to tell you, they're not resisting in our land today. It's sad, honey. And he said, turn again to the weak. Ninth verse. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather have known of God, that ye turn again to the weak and beggarly elements. The weak and the beggarly elements. And I thought about, Emma, I was begging God to let me out from under the bondage of alcohol. I wasn't happy with my life. Never thought I could get in that shape. And my weak and beggarly elements and the pressures and the things of this world coming down on me. And I thought, this is the only way to go. I can never make it in church. The adversary sitting on my left shoulder, he said, you'll never make it as a Christian. You've went too far. If you get saved, you won't stay in there. You'll just be a mockery to the church. He told me all of these things, the weak and beggarly elements, to stop me from getting saved. Can I tell you today, if you're sitting here and don't realize that you can make it, you need to come to the altar and get some help from God. We can make it. We can stand. We don't have to bow down. We don't have to give up. We don't have to quit along the way. I don't have to run around and pray every move I'm going to make. I know God called me to preach the gospel, amen. I don't have to run all over the country trying to find a bunch of angel worshipers, amen, and they've left God plumb out of the range. I can find peace in God's house. I can find peace in God's house. I don't know what about you all. Everybody didn't feel it, but somebody, I felt a little touch of God this morning. I felt it greater, but I felt a little touch of God that I enjoy this morning. I praise Him and I give Him honor. Amen. Hey, some more in this message. Let's preach what God has got us to do. Why in the world do we want to turn back to that condition that we was in? Why do I want to turn back hanging around that commode? Honey, if I drank one beer, it'd be a miracle if I didn't end up back around that commode or dead, honey. Because God set me free from that thing. God saved my soul. God set me free from adultery. God set me free from cussing and ripping and snorting. But today we want to satisfy flesh. Amen. Glory to God. 10th verse said, ye observe days and months and times and years. And he said, I am afraid of you. It's what Paul said. He said, I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. Ye have not injured me at all. I thought how sneaking a backslidden Christian is. They do everything they can to injure you, to bring you down to their level. A man that goes back to the bottle will do everything that he can. I've had several meth and crack people to tell me that if I got off of it, I got off of it a few weeks. I stopped at the service station and he walked up and he said, here, let me give you this. Not going to charge you a penny. We don't understand this, but one smoke of crack and they're hooked again because they were addicts. One hit of meth, one smoke of meth, and they're hooked again. One drink from an alcoholic, You know, they tell alcoholics in school, under the tutors, amen, take it one day at a time. Don't make big plans out in the future. Take it one day at a time. Some of us don't understand exactly what I'm saying. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of us have got nerve problems. I was talking in the prayer room about a boy that's hooked on pain pills. His daddy told me he was. Hooked on pain pills. It's terrible. It's terrible, neighbor. You know how through, 13th verse, through infirmities of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. So Paul had infirmities of flesh. He had problems. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? That's what I'm asking you. Where is the blessings you have testified of? 15th verse. Where is then the blessings you speak of? For I bear you record that if you had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And Paul said in the 16th verse, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Let me turn back to Galatians here just to page or two and see if I can find. I've preached this, I know, before. Galatians 1, 6 and 7. He said, Paul said to them, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And he said, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert or change the gospel of Christ. And they're out there today troubling us and changing the word of God. Changing the word of God. There's some more in this, 12 through 14. Let me read it. Paul said to him, said, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by the but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So Paul admitted he persecuted the church of God and profited in the Jews' religion above many. How many is profiting in the Baptist religion today? Come on now. And profited in the Jews' religion about many, my equal, in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. And he said, I can read it to you and I'll find it in a minute. But he said he was zealous of his father's tradition. He was zealous of making money. He was zealous in being, he's all excited about it. He was working at it to be an outstanding person. He said he come above many that was above him in the prospering in the Jews' religion. So he had a zeal to do that thing. He had a zeal to do that thing. 17th verse in Galatians. They zealously affect you. I want us to get this if we don't get nothing else. They zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. Influence, affection is influence. And I come down the road this morning, I want to mention this. And I mentioned to Janet, which is my friend from the time I was a teenager. And we've been friends all the way growing up. And I'll never forget, when I got saved, I had to go to my friend. I was laying brick and I went and done some work for him. Didn't even know how to testify, but I said, I want to tell you what the Lord has done for me. This is 1968. And he said, his wife's dead now, but he said, I can't go tell my wife all that I've done. And I said, you don't have to. straighten up from here on, and God will take care of that back yonder. Amen. And we talked a good while. But where I'm going, and I know this whole family knew how he was raised, but the doctrine that he was raised in, today he's 80, maybe 81 years old. And he's still in that doctrine. And he's saying at 80 years old, if I was to ever do it, I'd want to do it right. But he will not come and listen. He won't sit under the word. So what I'm saying to you, somebody zealously affected him, just like Paul's daddy did. He was zealously affected by his father to do what his father done. So a daddy or a mama or a grandma along the line zealously affected my buddy till I can't get through. Maybe, hopefully, still alive. Remember his daughter sitting right along about right there. And mama come with her one time and wiped her tears because she's under conviction. Today she's a great Christian singing in the church. But that ain't going to get daddy there. Nope. Neighbor, my heart began to burn within me. I could feel the tears trickling as I come on down the road, and I'm just telling Janet that it breaks my heart. And you wake up in hell still believing what somebody told you. Wake up in hell. The Bible said to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I believe that it is going to be some other way instead of just by faith. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it plainly says, how can you hear without a preacher?
Yeah. Heaven, Lord.
Today, neighbor, our nation is deceived.
Amen.
They're in church today and they feel like they were saved when they was a young'un and they can go on and do anything they want to. And they're being told, church, they're being told that they can go to heaven. We heard it preached in a youth revival, a tent meeting in Sparta. And the man had got saved when he was 10. Pulled 16 years in prison. Hung himself in prison. 26 years old. And he's going to heaven. Church, it ain't what I done at 10 years old. If it was, I'd be in hell. It's what I do in my everyday walk of life. And I can read it in the Word of God. Neighbors, the truth is not being preached. We don't have time to have church anymore.
Bless him, Lord.
We don't have time to read the Word of God anymore. Let me read that again. They zealously affect you, but not well. They plant bad seed in your in your life. If I quit and decide I'm going to take my Sundays and I'm going to do what I want to do, I have zealously affected somebody that was watching me.
Amen.
I've changed somebody's, I've influenced somebody in a wrong way. So there's something, this ain't just on preachers. This is on everybody that calls themselves a Christian. We need to be dedicated to God. God's got to be first in our life or he won't be at all. And he said, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Read that 19th verse, will you? Look at it. He said, my little children of whom I travail in birth. He said that, Paul said, I travail in birth, little children, again, until Christ be formed in you. He said he done it again. I'm in travail. And he plainly said there, and we find it in a couple of places, that he's afraid that I have bestowed my labor upon you in vain. And I've heard some bad news about you. Here I sit over in Corinth in a prison. And I thought I'd preach my heart out and I thought you were going to do good. But there was false teachers came in. There's false tutors came in and took them down a road. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's weak Christians out there. There's weak. I'm weaker. There's weak Christians out there. But we come out of a weak and beggarly element. We don't need to go back to that. We don't need to take no chances. If we're weak, we don't need to be in a place, neighbor, where we can be brought down. I'm going to go to Romans, and I promise you I'm going to quit. I wanted to go with the whole chapter, but I ain't going to do it. Romans 10 in the first three verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know what my heart's desire is for our country? That our country might be saved. That it might be saved. And he said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I told you we'd come back to that zeal. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Can I tell you, we want to do something, but we have no knowledge of God. We have a zeal of God. And if we don't have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of His faith and His saving grace and His keeping power, and where we got to stay to get it, that's knowledge. We have a zeal to do for God, but where are we at today? Where are we at today? We're looking for something, and I brought it out heavily. I wanted to, about shouting and how it's gone away. But we're looking heavily to satisfy flesh. When I get a shout, that satisfies my flesh and my spirit. When I get a shout, that pleases me all over. I can light up just a little. When I feel the Spirit of God, I light up just a little. But neighbor, if I don't feel the Spirit of God, I got to remember I have felt the Spirit of God, and I got to continue till I feel it again. And he said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I hope we got that right there. I hope we got that. Have the zeal of God, but not according to righteousness. Neighbor, that's a crying shame today with the knowledge that we have out here. And I believe the Bible tells us if we lack knowledge to ask God. But where are we going? Where are we telling our children? I thought our school system, God help me, but our school system is in the pitiful shape I've ever seen. When you can come through the 12th grade and can't make change for a dollar, you've missed out somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah. Ours was just an old lead pencil, number two lead pencil. Amen. 12 years at Low Gap Tech, walking to school every day. Never rode a bus in my life. Never had to. But I didn't have no computer or a calculator. I can count to 10. Amen. And I know God saved me.
Amen.
Almost 53 years ago. How many people since I left Fairview Church and come to Mount Vernon, how many people have I made enemies out of because I told them the truth? You can preach being faithful to the house of God and you'll make an enemy.
Yeah.
I can get mad and fly off at Shannon and pitch a little fit. I can come back and apologize to Shannon and not mean it and go on in my little fit. And then I'd like to tell you something else. Then everybody around me don't suit me. I can be hateful as Janet. She told me that. She also told me, I wish you'd wear your hearing aids. But neighbor, I wished, my heart's desire, that Mount Vernon would get right with God.
Amen.
I wish we'd get back in here and fill up the pews. These people are dying and going to hell. I got them in my family.
Yeah.
I was down at the altar this morning praying, and it just come to my mind, some of my neighbors that I know have had a change, and I believe made a profession of faith. But you can't get them in the house of God for no reason. Hardly for a funeral. Think about it. If we've got nothing else to pray for, the names that was called out today. And these people in these hospitals that's been there for weeks under oxygen, corona, dying. I've got something to praise God for, and I'm able to pray for them. I'm able to pray for them. So the altar's open. Everybody that will and can, there's something to pray about. And if you're just ready to fly away, get beside of me and pray for me. I need help. I need help. Altar's open. Father, in the holy name of Jesus, God, we come today realizing, God, I'm just a man, realizing, Lord, today what you brought me out of it. Lord, you open some scripture to me. I hope I've got it across to somebody else, Lord. Others are out there zealously affecting us, Lord. They're out there changing their mind. They're out there on TV, Lord, just to show us the fear of being out in public. Don't go nowhere. Stop along the way. Don't stop and give God praise because you might get in trouble, Lord. They're out there to stop us all along the way. God, it started back in Genesis, God, as the Bible was being wrote down that we could read, God, how Satan is trying to stop the Word of God, stop the people of God, stop the blessings and the glory of God. Lord, we're just reading your Word, and Paul asked them there in Galatians, Lord. I said, where is the blessings that you speak of? And, Lord, we've testified of what you saved us from and what you took us out of. God, how you blessed us and saved our soul and took care of our every need. God, what a message if we could only get it, Lord. I've not got it all. Lord, just help me, God, to get it, what the Word said. God, to be a stronger soldier, not give up, not bow down, and not bow down to the things of the world. God, these that are in the valley of decision running all over the country, Lord, trying to find what you want them to do, God. Our Lord, it's plain. They need to stay in their place till they find out, God. I thank you again for loving, for taking care of us. God, I pray for ours that are afraid. I pray for ours that fear has fell on them. God, I pray for all of ours that's got cancer. Those that have got corona, God, I pray again. For old Dexter, God, that you touch him, Eddie Bailey. God, I pray, Lord, for old Bill. They find it. Maybe the infection is all as God, and everything else will be all right, God. I pray, Lord, for Miss Ann, God, and Mikey. The girls, God, that your hand be upon us, God, I pray. Give us the message you'd have us to preach, God, that there be a conviction in the place. Pray, God, for Keith and Jason, Lord, and the girl. God, I ask you to be in the midst, God. Thank you for reading, Lord. She meant a lot to us. God, I just pray, God, that everything is all right, God, in their hearts. Lord, thank you again for loving, for touching. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. 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 Anything else on?